Welcome to the Team EF Coaching Cycling Performance Podcast, where we take information from the highest level of sport and make it accessible for all cyclists. I'm your host, Zach Morris, and today I'm sitting down with another fan favorite of y'all's, somebody who had an amazing year and a transformative year in many ways, Mr. Ben Healy. Ben, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome. Hello. Thanks for having me.
What did you think of the new aero helmet, Ben?
It's interesting, but yeah. At some point, you've got to accept change, and 20 watts don't lie. So, yeah, that's no matter what people think it looks like, it's a fast helmet, and one that I will be using.
Yeah. So, for those of you that obviously you're listening to this episode, you don't know, there's a new POC Aero helmet coming out for the road. It's pretty amazing. It's said to save 20 watts, and I was beside Ben when he first picked it up. And he was like, yeah, it's not bad. It's kind of all right, a little different, right? And then I was like around the management meeting later on, and they were like, Ben was losing his mind. He was so excited about the new aero helmet. He was telling everybody he needs it right now. And I was like, did he say that? Because I was there when he was putting it on, and he seemed pretty chill about it all. But I think it looks pretty fast, man. I'm not going to lie. And with your riding style, it's like, looks to me like it will be a perfect piece of kit for you and how you like to win races.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, in a specialist situation, and it's perfect for the way that I like to ride. And I think what I was like chuckling about when I had the helmet on is that unfortunately I just inherited a wonky head. And so any helmet I wear, no matter what it is, it's always kind of a bit skew-iff, and it's maybe a bit more noticeable with the aero helmet. So that can be something that people can have a laugh at when they see me in it, but yeah, it's still pretty fast, so that's the main thing.
Nice. Hey, so last year I met you for the first time at this camp, and I remember watching you do the races, like the final races of the year, and kind of like seeing a real spark. It's probably something JV saw in you way before I ever did, but it was the first time I had ever seen it, you know, when you were attacking off the front. And I think I came up to you and I was like, dude, you need to win races. And Ben's response to me was, man, I feel like I'm just figuring it out. And this year we saw Ben figure it out. So what was that process like for you, Ben, from getting into the world to figuring out what was going on, how the peloton worked, and then trying to take risks, like launch attacks and try to win races?
Yeah, I mean, I lost a good chunk of my development to COVID. And so I joined the World Tour, and I feel like I didn't have that much time to learn, you know. And my first year in the World Tour was for sure a big learning curve. And slowly but surely I started to find my feet. And yeah, like you said to me, I was getting more aggressive in the final, on the back end of the year, and really trying to play my card and figure out how to win. And I think that's the main takeaway I got from my first year was how I can win, and what I needed to do to put myself in the position to be able to do that. And yeah, that's for sure kind of attribute some of that to why I performed so well this year, because yeah, I had that chance to learn in my first year and really took away the lessons and applied them. And yeah, that's what just worked out well for me.
How hard was the World Tour, your first races? Do you remember what it felt like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird because under 23 racing was also crazy hard, you know? Like, power numbers are on par, I would say.
Right.
It's just so different in duration. World Tour races are longer and more attritional. And I actually got tucked into some classics, really. They were my first races. And they were tough. So, and I was battling for the first half of the season to try and fry my legs. But yeah, once I got into my groove and had a few races behind me, then yeah, I felt at home.
So when you say like you started to feel at home, walk me through those feelings. Like, what did it feel like? Because like it's, I know the power numbers and the intensity levels like really high in U23, and so is the risk of crashing. So in the pro peloton, stuff is a little bit more organized. It's still super intense, super chaotic, but the level's got to be a little bit higher. So did you ever feel like maybe the level was going to be too high and you weren't going to be able to win? Did that ever come through your mind?
Yeah, 100%. And it's like one of the things that allowed me to do what I did at under 23 level is a lack of organization. You know, it's one guy versus the other guy. But in the World Tour, that's not the case. You know, people get organized, teams get organized. We have radios and, you know, courses that you've ridden quite a few times before, so you know every corner. And yeah, that was definitely a part of it. And yeah, and when you get to the final of the races, people still have gaffes. And there's under 23, it's people are flagging and dying away, I guess. So it's just being able to replicate that power in the end of the race and the repetitions. And I think that's the real thing that makes a good rider.
Where does this desire to want to win races in like pretty epic fashion come from? Because like a lot of riders win races, but not a lot of them win races from like 100K out attacks going by themselves or with two other guys before you drop them. Like, where does this version of Ben Healy start? Does it start in junior racing? Is this something you found that you like to do in U23? Where did you start to hone in on that?
Yeah, I guess I just love being aggressive in a race, in racing. And it's kind of, I've always done, like, had this style of racing, I guess, and it's always worked for me. And because it's always worked for me, I've always continued to do it. And for sure, at some points, it's been my downfall as well. You know, like, the style of racing that I do is you go all in one day and you really crash the next day. And yeah, in the past, like, I haven't really realized that. And it's only like now that I'm thinking, oh yeah, there's no wonder, like, sometimes I have a bad day because I've gone like all in on the day before, you know. So yeah, but at the moment, I'm just enjoying racing aggressively and chancing my arm and doing it in the way I do. And I guess I've figured out a way to win, and I'm just gonna keep on trying to repeat that. And that's why I'm doing it. Not necessarily because it's cool and you can, yeah, it's something that other people don't do. It's just, it works for me.
You got a formula. But I mean, how many guys your age even have a formula? They get into the World Tour and they're like, oh man, this is tough, right? And I think we've seen a few different years now where strong riders have come into the World Tour. And of course, we all hear about the Remcos and the Pidcocks and the superstars, but those are the exceptions, right? There's so many other guys that come in and don't find that path. So it's pretty cool to see you navigating that and figuring out what your strategy is to win. And the one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, now that you know how to win at the highest level, is there anything you're like really wanting to work on, really wanting to develop in your skill set that you feel like will give you just another little edge in your overall tool set as a rider?
Yeah, well, for sure I can become more calculated. That's something I'm always thinking about. But yeah, for me it's a process of trial and error and just trying to expose myself to as many different situations as possible. And just like off the top of my head, for example, the Giro, I was super keen on stage four this year, and you know that I was too keen, but I'll always remember that I was too keen that day, and I had great legs, and yeah, I threw it away because everyone was watching me because I showed that. And yeah, just all these little lessons and all these little things you learn in each race, you know, that's something that I'll take with me, and that means I'll grow as a rider. And yeah, there are a couple other low-hanging fruit, you know, is sprint. I think everyone's seen that I can't take anyone to the line. So yeah, but that's also a balance of, you know, do I improve my sprint and then take away from what I'm good at? So it's a fine line to see, yeah, what you can improve. And yeah, also in the heat, I'm also not so great. So yeah, there's quite a few things still that I can always still improve on.
Have you been hitting the gym?
Yeah, I try to a little bit. Not too focused on it because honestly, it's something that I don't enjoy.
Right.
I get done what I need to get done, but yeah, it's something that I probably need to work on a bit more to improve my sprint. But yeah, what it comes down to, I enjoy racing my bike, and I do it because I enjoy it.
Right.
And the gym, if I'm not enjoying it, then I find it hard to get motivated for it, honestly.
100%. You know, it's interesting for all the listeners. I was chatting with Ben yesterday on a ride. We went out for a couple of hours with our guests from the camp here, and I was actually kind of surprised to learn that Ben was really like really just into the riding side of it. I don't take you as one of the guys who's like hyper focused on like the business side of the sport. Like, you really love racing, like inside and out. It's, you can tell it's your number one passion and your focus is all about winning races. And I thought that was pretty cool. And one of the things that we had kind of uncovered in our conversation is that you still have a lot of areas to improve. Like, you're really, as good as you are, you're still not like fully peaked out right? Like you haven't gone 100% in on the nutrition and really done every single thing you can to like optimize that performance. And we were talking a little bit about it, but I'd like for you to maybe share that perspective with the audience is, you know, how you're doing that to stay fresh. And you know that you have that future ahead of you whenever you really want to turn it on and really refine all of the details so you could do something like go for a grand tour or something of that nature.
Yeah. So for me at the moment, it's just a process of doing what I enjoy. And it's been like, the question's been asked, you know, can I do a GC or, yeah, am I going to just go for stages or this and that? And it's like, I think for sure in the future, that is something that I'd really like to focus on, a GC. And, but for now, I'm just really enjoying stage hunting and yeah, I'm going for these one day races. And a part of that, you know, is, yeah, you like to say like nutrition is a big part of that for me. And, yeah, it's something that we're working on with the team now, but it's not something that comes very natural to me. And yeah, I for sure I can push it more in that area. And yeah, it's just year on year working out what works for me and what I want to do with that. And yeah, it's 1 year it'll click and maybe all the pieces will be in the correct place and I'll put together a great GC. But for now, it's not something that I'm overly stressed about. And yeah, like you say there, I am just passionate about enjoying and racing my bike and that's the main focus for me at the end of the day. And yeah, I believe if as long as I'm happy, then the results will come with that.
So you were making some jokes on the ride yesterday saying that all the new riders had come from JV looking through your close contacts on Instagram and signing all your best mates. You've got a bunch of your buddies on the team this year and that's an interesting environment to look at from the outside looking in. But talk to me a little bit about how you and your buddies are feeling about being on the same team and what kind of environment you think that'll create in the races.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like there's a lot of these young guys that have been signed. They're actually, yeah, they're kind of in my friendship group outside of the team. And yeah, it just creates such an environment that makes you feel at home, you know, whether it's sitting at a dinner table and it's like we're just out going out for a meal and having a chat and a laugh, you know. And I think it just puts everyone at ease. And yeah. It's like I keep saying, if you're enjoying yourself, and I think that really helps and goes a long way to performance as well. And yeah, we seem to have like a really nice, friendly, happy environment here at the moment.
Who's the best rider out of you and your buddies?
I'd say, yeah, Archie Ryan is a very talented rider, and I think he's for sure one to watch out for in the future. You know, he's been troubled with a few injuries recently. But yeah, we have some good cars on this team, and they're fixing them up.
So. You're saying Archie's better than you?
Yeah, I think long term I'd be worried of him. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, really? Oh, that's interesting. We're talking to Archie later, so I'll see. I'll ask him the same question and see what he says. If he doesn't say Ben, yeah, there might be a problem.
Yeah, school settled.
So it's an interesting year we're looking at. I mean, you're probably gonna want to do the tour in 2024. Obviously, Ardennes Classics. You'd go really well there. And then the kind of shocker of the season is the Olympics, right? Like that's the big one. So how are you looking at the season up ahead?
Yeah, I mean, Ardennes for sure is going to be the first big focus. And yeah, I'm pretty confident that I can perform there. And it's, yeah, I've shown before that it really suits me well. So yeah, and if I can go to the tour, then that would be amazing as well. Obviously, the tour's the biggest race for the team and everyone on the team, so... Yeah, it's who's in form and yeah, who can perform the best there, and that decision is made, yeah, we're in advance. But you know, if you're not going well, then you're not going to get taken. So yeah, that's also another goal. And the Olympics for me is, yeah, I would love to go to the Olympics in great shape, but it's obviously pretty close after the tour, and that's just something that I haven't had experience with. You know, like a lot of guys who have done grand tours maybe have done races soon after a grand tour.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just gonna be a guessing game for me. Really, I'm gonna do my best to try and recover well and take some good legs to the Olympics. But yeah, it's not the end of the world if I don't.
But you wouldn't skip the tour for the Olympics in any regard.
I don't think so. Like, oh. I would obviously the Olympics is always a really open race with the small peloton. But this year, I wouldn't say it's a course that I look at and go, oh yeah, this is all for me. I mean, for sure, I have an opportunity there because I think it is going to be an open, aggressive race. But yeah, I think this year I would like to prioritize the tour of the Olympics.
You see any stages that stand out to you that you could go for at the tour?
Yeah, I haven't really looked, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, I know the tour's there, but yeah, I'm not trying to go into too much detail with that, like, right this second.
And yeah.
I think I could spend a lot of time dwelling over the stages and overthinking things. So yeah, just going to keep that out of my mind for now.
Yeah, that's fair. Hey, so you're switching bikes this year, right? Like, you were the last standing survivor of the System 6 era. The System 6 is no longer for Cannondale. Your primary bike's going to be the Super 6 Evo, which is also a super fast bike. What kind of changes are you making to that bike to make it work for your riding style?
Yeah, so we're still fiddling around a little bit because the geometry is very different to the System 6. And yeah, I have a crazy aggressive position, which unfortunately is not really catered for. So yeah, I've had to downsize a frame and whack a silly long stem on it. But at the moment, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. So yeah, we're gonna have to see how that goes and that works out. So yeah, we'll find the best option, and for sure it's still gonna be a good setup.
So this year you became the first Irish national champion to ever have a cool national champion jersey.
I don't know about ever, but yeah, it's been a while.
But it's definitely the nicest one ever. Yeah, like, for sure, dude.
I'll agree with that.
That national champion jersey is so good. I'm not even Irish, and I was like, dude, I'd wear that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that looks sweet. How do you feel about the new kit?
Oh, it's amazing, you know? I mean, I've said this a couple of times to people now, but yeah, as we've all been presented the kit, you know, the slides showing the development and, you know, all this effort that Rafa are putting into it. And yeah, the actual kit comes up, and yeah, everyone's like, oh, that's an awesome kit, you know? Honestly, probably one of my favorite EF kits that we've seen. And, you know, it's just in the back of my head that, like, Ireland have in the past been a little bit funny with design of the kit, and yeah, pretty strict on what it should look like. So as you know, yeah, I thought I knew what I was getting, and I was a little bit disappointed because the new kit did look super good. And next slide, and yeah, bam, amazing. You know, Rafa pulled it out of the pack, yeah. And they've managed to convince Ireland to let me have some pretty cool jersey. So yeah, props to them for that.
Well, none of your buddies have actually seen it as of yet, right? Because the kit's not out yet.
But
when they do, I'm sure you're going to be getting blown up in the messages,
yeah.
Left, right, and center. So talk to me about the team 2024. You've been with the team. This is your third season with the team, right?
Yeah.
And thank goodness we have you for a few more years after that, because I think the next era of Ben Healy is going to be an exciting one to watch. But how have you seen the team evolve since when you came here, and how are you feeling about the team going into this next season?
Yeah, I mean, when I first joined, I think the team was still really recovering from COVID. Obviously, yeah, being a travel company, they were hit especially hard. And yeah, and then also that first year, we were really fighting for points. And that was just, I think it took a real big toll on everyone, and the stress. And, you know, that was a do or die situation for us. And I think that really kickstarted a process of, you know, we need to improve. We can't stagnate and yeah, step up as a team. And I think that made everyone step up, not just the riders, but the staff and just absolutely everyone involved, you know. And I think, yeah, this year feels better again. So I think everyone's really, really moving forward as an organization. And yeah, I think it's only going to go up from here.
Nice. I think I'm really looking forward to it. With the addition of, like, Rui Costa, he's a rider you could really play off of in some tough races. That'll be good. Obviously, Carapaz. You know, we could be in a situation where we're going into some of these hard Ardennes classics with, like, four guys that could win the race. So if you have you picked out, like, a primary objective for next year, like one early season race, would it be Liège?
Yeah, like I said, you know, Ardennes. I think I can carry pretty great form over the whole Ardennes week. And yeah, and I think I can do that twice in the season, Ardennes and Tours. And that's it, you know. If I can win Liège, and that would be the cherry on top, I think. And
dude, if
go to the tour in the best shape as possible and play for stages.
If you win Liège, like, I might not get a Ben Healy tattoo, but I might make somebody around me get a Ben Healy tattoo.
Not committing to it yourself.
All right, Ben, that's all we have time for today, bro. Thanks so much for coming on to the podcast, and we're all really looking forward to seeing how you do next year.
Yeah, thanks for having me.